on this morning. And, sometimes we get a little disheartened, even discouraged, even despondent with life. And I will share with you, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I'm just sharing with you my heart and my thoughts this morning. Lately, I've thought about not teaching anymore. And, because I got to thinking, Tom, you've been teaching for 25 years, they've heard it all. And I'm just telling you what I got to thinking, okay? So just bear with me. And so you get to thinking that way, and then Satan comes in, and he'll work on you. And I even thought, well, maybe I could go to a different church and start teaching and start all over. And so this song came to me this morning, and so I had Brennan come in early and burn it for me and put it on CD, and I just want to sing it for you. It's sort of how I feel this morning, and I'll just share it with you.
So you're stuck with me. I want to finish up today on what we've been talking about, and that is salvation. And we've talked about five different facets or parts in salvation. I gave you another one. So now we got six. Okay, good. My assistant has told me we have not five, but six. The first one is worth. Salvation's worth everything to you. I can tell you that. It's worth everything to you. And then the second one is walk. Oh, look, if it's worth everything to you, you don't have to walk a certain way, do you? Oh, come on, honey, tell it. There you go. You want to. And then the third one is the weight. Oh, look, if he's worth everything to you, Ron, and you're walking upright before him, boy, there's just something in there that says, man, I want to see him. I can't wait because he said he's coming. But what did he tell me to do while he's not coming? Wait. And wait while you're waiting. Remember we talked about that. Listen, my little sister is waiting while she's waiting. So that's what we do. We wait while we're waiting. And one of these days, folks, I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing before you, one of these days, there'll be too much to gain to lose. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. And then there was the want. Look, if you've got salvation, will you ever want for anything? No, because you've got the Savior. You know, what comes with salvation is the Savior, because without the Savior, there's no salvation, right? And if you've got the Savior, you've got the Lord. And if you've got the Lord, you've got God. And if you've got Jesus, you've got the God. And if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got God. And if you've got God, you've got everything you'll ever need. You won't want for anything. But if you don't have Him, you'll want for everything. You'll be impoverished. You'll be lacking. And I gave you the illustration in Daniel of where Belshazzar had this great party and he was living it up. But all of a sudden he found out he was weighed in the balance and found lacking, impoverished. And you know what was even worse than that? He was out of time. You know, it'd be one thing to find out what you are if you're out of time. Wouldn't that make it worse? Because he says, the God in whose hand is thy breath is telling you this. And you know what he's going to do tonight, Belshazzar? My words now. I'll tell you what he's going to do tonight, Belshazzar. God in whose hand is thy breath is going to do this, Belshazzar. And you'll get no breath. You'll have no breath. You'll be out of here. And you'll be found wanting. And then we said there's the woe. Listen, the woe of not having salvation. It's the worst thing could ever come on anyone. I don't know if climate change is real. I don't know if it's going to get worse in the climate. It may. I don't know. They don't know. It may get colder before it gets hotter. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do know. I do know if you leave this world without Jesus Christ, you're in serious trouble.
Amen.
It'll get hotter before it gets colder. I'll tell you that. You will experience global warming then, bless God. You'll be warming. That's the woe of not having salvation. Then we said there's the width of salvation. Aren't you glad? Listen, I took you to Acts 9. I'm going to take you back there today, I think. I took you to Acts 9, and you remember there was a man that was on his way to get those who were in the way, and while he was on the way to get those who were in the way to arrest those who were in the way, met the way and got arrested by the way, and went straightway to tell those who were not in the way how to get in the way. You say, Tom, that's a mouthful. Bless God, that's what's in chapter 9. Now you'll never forget it. The width, he said, I'm going out to the Gentiles. Oh, hallelujah for that. Hallelujah for that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Otherwise, I'd be a dead duck. But he did. He went like this. And he said, whosoever. Well, that's wide, folks. That's as wide as it gets. Whosoever, let them come and drink of the water of life. Oh, say it loud, honey. Come on, can I get you to say? Listen, can we quit being so quiet in this place? This is God's house. Can we not raise our voice for the Lord? If we was out at a ball game, bless God, and they made a three-pointer, we'd say, yeah! But when it comes to God's house, we... Yeah, I hope that's right. I'm not being mean to you, honey. I'm trying to get us to say, you know, this is God's house. We come here to worship him. If something comes across our lips that he's worthy of, and bless God, it will be, can't we say it out? Can't we say it so somebody else can hear it and get... But listen, isn't that what the Bible says? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now that's what we do, right? And then what's the rest of it? Encouraging one another. That means when a dear sister stands up with a burden on her heart for a grandchild, bless God, we're to stand up with her and lift her hands up. Encouraging one another. And do it occasionally. No, it says even more so. Even more so, brother. Even more so what? As you see the day. I'll give you a good example. I don't do that. I'm not bragging on me, folks. This time I'm just teaching. That's all. I've prayed and stayed all week. I'm just teaching now. I was on my way this morning to the church, and this young man was mowing out here. And I went by, waved, and he waved. The Lord said, Tom, I don't believe your wave's going to help him much. Why don't you turn around and go back and invite him to church? You know what I did? Bless God, I turned around. And I went back and I pulled up to him. And he couldn't understand a word of English. But there was another man there. And he came down and he could. And I said, brother, I waved at you. And he said, yes, sir, we saw you. I said, but the Lord told me to come back and tell you that I shouldn't wave at you but invite you to church. They said, well, where is the church? I told them where the church is. I said, boy, we'd love to have you. Love for you to come. That's width, isn't it? That's God reaching out. Man couldn't understand a word I said. God knew what to say to him. God sent an interpreter down there, bless God, to tell him. And you know what I said? Coming out the road, I said, Lord, thank you that I could be obedient to you. I don't get anything for it. I don't deserve anything for it. I'm just glad you would allow me to be obedient. That's how we get the width. He says, how can they hear except someone be sent? Now, I don't mean Larry going to preach at another church exactly, although it does. It means everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, everybody you meet. If you get a change, you tell them. Tell them how good the Lord is. You don't have to know the scriptures verbatim. And you don't have to know Romans' road to salvation. Just tell them how good the Lord is. Yeah. That's the width.
Tom, can I add a little something? A friend of mine, a preacher, went to Mexico. His interpreter didn't show up. He preached anyhow, and 13 people got saved.
Well, that's what happened on Pentecost, bless God. Yeah. That's, you know, they preached in Pentecost in one language, and it went out to everybody's language. Hey, like that. God's pretty good, isn't he? You know, they brag on these people. Well, they speak five different languages. Well, God speaks them all. Hey, like that. And he's fluent in all of them. You know what fluent means, don't you? Real good. Thank you, honey. That's good. Hey, like that. But I wanted to show you today how the Lord used all these that I've given you and encompassed them into his teaching. You'll see them all. They're all there. For example, what did he say to his disciples? Take up thy cross and follow me. Well, if you break that down, listen, you don't take the cross up until you're saved. I can tell you that. He's not talking about dying for your sins. He's talking about doing what he did, sacrificing. Having the walk. So he says, take up your cross and follow me. He also says, if your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, anybody means more to you than I do, you're not worthy of me. So Jesus taught all these things. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 13. I want to start there. That may not be where I finish, but I want to start there. Matthew 13. And that's where Jesus begins the parables. Now, you'll see in this chapter, and I'll tell you what it's about, because the reason I do it this way, the reason I teach the way I do, and I don't just stand here and read the verses, I want you to know what's in the chapter. So if you ever want to know about the parables, you say, oh yeah, that's chapter 13 of Matthew. I can go there and find the parables. It's not all the parables, but it's where he began to preach the parables and to teach the parables. And you'll notice in the parables that they are three inclusive parables. In other words, three that are in general parables. And then inside that, there are two that are individual in parables. And I'll show you why it's that way. For example, the first parable that he talks about is the parable of the sower. Now, what that says is the width of the gospel, right? Because he says, a sower went forth to sow. And he tells you over when he interprets it, he says, and the seed is the word. So what we're to sow is the word, because that reaches everyone. Even a young man out here mowing that can't understand a word of English, God can get to him through the word. So it's all encompassing. So he says, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed seed, and some fell here and some fell there. Some fell on hard ground. Some fell on rocky soil. Some fell on thorny soil. And then some fell on good soil. Listen, three out of the four didn't do any good. But glory, aren't you glad for the one? Huh? Aren't you glad one day? Now, you better listen up here. Aren't you glad one day, bless God, your ground was good? Because I can tell you there was a time in your life where your ground was rocky, thorny, or hard. Huh? But you know what? The sower just kept throwing. Because he said, now, today it might be good. Aren't you glad? Because when it was good, he says, then it brought forth 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold in the good ground. The Word always does what it's supposed to do when it hits good ground. And he says, what is good ground? He says, oh, good ground is one that understandeth and believeth. In other words, you take the Word, you believe the Word, and you own the Word. And then the Word owns you. And then you produce. Some more than others. But you won't find where it says, don't produce. It always produces, folks. So that's the first one. And then the next one that he gave in the sower, in the parables, was the parable of the wheat and the tares. And he said, a man went forth and sowed good seed in his field. And while he slept, now don't think for 1 minute that God sleeps. So you can't add things to these parables. You have to get the story out of the parables that the parable's teaching. You can't go in there and try to dissect and analyze and everything because you get all gummed up. So he says a sower went out and he sowed good seed in his field. And while he slept, an enemy came in and sowed bad seed. Evil seed, it says. And then his servants get up and they find, oh my goodness, Lord, didn't you sow good seed in your field? He said, I sure did. Well, Lord, we found bad seed out there. You want us to go out there and dig up that bad? He said, no, I don't. Because you don't know the good from the bad. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't go out there trying to dig up the bad. You don't know the good and the bad. He says, I tell you what, you let them grow together. Now, I'm going to tell you, you may be shocked at this, but this is gospel, folks. Did you know that in this church house, there's wheat, there's tares? Huh? She won't care. She won't care. I'm going to give you a good example, and I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at an example that Tara sat among the wheat thinking she was wheat. And am I right or wrong? Bless God, I had Henry's wife stand up and say the same thing. I was in church in Florida right after I got saved. The pastor's wife, 20 years in that church, got up one Sunday morning, went to the altar and said, I thought all this time I was right, but I'm lost. He says, let them grow together. Why? Why in the world would he say, why can't we separate out just so we got all wheat in here? I'll tell you why. Bless God, you can't take tare and make wheat out of them, but God can.
Yeah.
Just because they're a tare don't mean they can't become wheat. But I can tell you what the reverse of that is. You can't take wheat and make a tare out of it either. So he says, let them grow together until the harvest time. And then I'll send forth my. Don't miss that word, folks. That word's not in there to fill a gap. He says, I'll send forth my reapers. Don't you go out and dig up. I'll send forth my reapers because then they're going to know. See, they're not going to take up a wheat. They're going to take up a tare. Because he says, then I'll send forth my reapers and they shall gather the tares in a bundle to burn. But the wheat shall be gathered and put into my barn. And I've given you this more than once. You've probably already forgot it. You'll either go in the barn or you'll burn. There's no in between, folks. Young, old, or in between. You'll either be in the barn, God's repository, where God gathers his wheat. You'll either go there or you're going to burn. Now, the world will tell you that's not true. The world won't go with that. They don't believe in hell. That's okay. They don't have to believe in hell until they get in hell. I saw a sign the other day. I didn't agree with it, but I sort of understood what it was saying. It said, if you're walking through hell, just keep going. Well, they're inferring that you're going to get out. You know, just keep going till you get out. Well, let me tell you something. You'll walk a long time. You ain't getting out. You're going to keep walking and burn him while you walk. Your feet gets hot. I tell you, I went down, my little bride and I, we went down, we get out, we shouldn't, but we're retired, who cares? You know, and we drove over to North Carolina, and she wanted to go over to Home Goods and all this stuff, and then we went to a furniture store, and she likes to look at, she loves to do those things, and I love doing with her. But bless God, you men, think you can't do nothing with your little bride, you better. She'll find somebody else to do it with her. No, I'm just teasing. But I wore the wrong shoes. Boy, I tell you, my feet got to hurting. And I was walking like this. She said, honey, what's wrong? I said, oh, my feet's killing me. Well, let me tell you something. Your feet will kill you in hell, too. Only thing is you can't go home, take your shoes off, and get in your recliner and help it. So he says, let them go. My servants will come, and then they'll gather them, and this is what they'll do with them. And then he says, the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is salvation. Nothing but salvation. That's all it's saying. Because, after all, if you're in the kingdom, are you saved? If you're not saved, are you in the kingdom? No, so he says the kingdom is like this. This is what the kingdom's like. It's how you get in it. He says it's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. You plant it, it grows into this big old tree, and the fowls come and find shade. Well, what is that? That's reaching out. It starts small. It started with the Jews. Salvation started with the Jews. Jew first, and also the good. And then it blossomed and bloomed and grew and got wider, it says. And the fowls came and found shade in it. Let me say, if you didn't find shade when you got saved, you didn't get saved. If you're still burning up and no shade, you didn't get saved. Because I'm going to tell you from my own experience, my experience is no different than anybody else that gets saved, by the way. We all get the same salvation. You'll find shade, bless God, when you get saved. That means joy and peace, right? You'll find it because it's there. It's in the kingdom. And then he comes in and his disciples say, Lord, explain to us the parable of the sower. No, they didn't. No, what stuck in their mind was them tires. You're picking up something, aren't you? What stuck in their mind was the tires. Why would that stick in their mind? I'm going over here because nobody else talked to me. Sandy will talk to me occasionally. Why would that be what stuck in their mind, honey?
Were they questioning their own belief in God?
Oh, listen. The punishment of the tires, he said, we're going to gather you and throw you into the fire. So they said, well, we better know a little more about this. Because if they was wheat, hey, the wheat got into his barn. They wanted to know about them tires. So he said, Lord, tell us the parable of the tires. And he says, well, the parable is this. He says, the good man that sowed the good seed is the Son of God. And the seed is the children of God. Now listen, don't fall into this trap that the world wants to spin that we are all children of God. Bless God, we're not. We're the creation of God. Because he says, the Son of God planted the children of God. And he says, but the enemy of God, which is Satan, he comes along and he plants his. Everything that Christ has ever done, Satan has imitated. God's got his word. Oh, Satan's got his translation of the word. Make no mistake about that, because several times Satan tried to trick the Lord with the Bible, but he misquoted, and Jesus called him on it. Remember when he was tempted? Yeah. He misquoted. So listen, and that's how he gets people. He doesn't need people outside religion, folks. He's got them. Who he gets is those inside religion that are relying on their religion to save them. That's being a terror. And you know what else? And this, no one wants to believe this, but this is God's word. I take God's word just like it says. He says he calls them the children of the devil. So you know what that tells me? There's two kind of people in this world. There's the saved and the unsaved. There's the children of God, which is salvation. That's how you become a child of God, right? And then there's the children of Satan, the unsaved. If you are unsaved, you are a child of the devil. And you know what? The punishment that is weeded for him will be given to you. Yeah. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Is that what the Bible says? Yeah. What's the rest of it? And all nations. The word nations mean peoples. Okay? And all people who what? Forget God. That's who's gone. That's his children. That's his seed. So he planted them. Well, God knows who. Does the Bible say this, that have this sure foundation? That God knoweth his own. Is that what it says in Corinthians? That's exactly what it says. Having this sure foundation that God knoweth his own. Let me tell you something. You may be sitting in here this morning. God knows whether you're his or not his. You can trick me. You can trick the preacher. You can trick everybody in here. But you're not tricking God. God knows if you belong to him. God knows if you're wheat or tare. Yeah. And so he says, now, the harvest time is the end of time. In other words, when it's all over. That's why I said earlier about Belshazzar. It was bad enough for Belshazzar to get the message on the wall that he had been found wanting, right? But it was far worse that he had no time to do anything about it. Look, don't get me wrong, because I don't judge anyone. But I don't put much into deathbed repentance, folks. I'm not saying God can't save a person on their deathbed. I sure wouldn't want to wait till I got there. Because what does the Bible say about now? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Not later. Not tomorrow. Not when you get sick in the hospital. Not when the doctor gives you the bad news, bless God. Hey, don't tell. I know God can save you anytime he wants to. He's God. But he didn't say it that way. He didn't say, now you wait till you get on that deathbed. And if you repent, I'll get you. You won't find that anywhere. Now. He said now for a reason. Because it's now. Because, look, is salvation about choices? Well, sure it is. Life is about choices. I could, my goodness. You know why I say that I don't deserve one drop of God's blood? Because I know the choices are made when I was in sin. And I still pay for them to this day. You say, but I thought you got saved. That don't mean you're not going to pay for your sin. I still pay today for choices I made when I was young. Choices. That's the generality right there. He's breaking it down. He's talking about the good and the bad, the wheat and the tare, the punishment for one, the rejoicing of the other. Listen, is it not going to be a time of rejoicing when you're gathered into the barn of God? You say, isn't there the barn? Hey, if God's got a barn, bless God, it'd be the best barn you ever been in.
That's right.
Amen. Huh? It'd be better than any. I know some people got some mansions. I mean, mansions. Matter of fact, I know some people got two or three mansions. I'd rather be in God's barn than any mansion on this earth. I see some of they sell for $20 and $30 million. Imagine that. $20 or $30 million for a place to live. Well, that just means you got more money than you got sense. But you know what? I'd rather be in God's barn than $100 million house that man's made. Because you know what will be in God's barn? Salvation. You can't take her. See, I said if you and Sandy caught it and she grabbed it right away from you, you wouldn't speak up. Listen, there's salvation. You won't find, I don't care if a house costs $300 million. You won't find salvation in it. You won't find joy in it. You won't find peace in it. But boy, you will in God's barn. You're going to find love and joy and peace and meekness and gentleness and long-suffering and kindness. You know why? Because that's what he is. We're going to have everything God's got. And then he comes on. Now, that's the generality. And then he comes down and he gives you two parables inside another generality, what I call an all-conclusive, thank you. He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who found a treasure in a field. And he hideth that treasure. And he goes and sells about everything he's got. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, honey. If salvation ain't worth everything you got, you'll never get it. Huh? God deals in one thing. Give up everything about you and you can have me. You can't keep anything. See, the world wants to do this. The world wants to name Jesus and add Jesus to their lifestyle, but keep their lifestyle. Keep how they live now. But just say, oh, I know Jesus. Oh, no. That's not what Jesus says do. Jesus says the king salvation is like this. You'll give up everything you've got to get it, or you won't get it. Because he says, he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the treasure. If Jesus is not a treasure to you, he's nothing to you. That's the worth that we talked about. And then he says, it's also like, now that one, the man, if you remember, that one, the man just sort of stumbled onto it. He's going through the field and there he finds it. Now a good example of that, and I told you I was going to take it back here, I about forgot to go back here. But if you go back to Acts chapter 9, who would that be that just sort of stumbled on it, and when he found it, he'd give up everything? Paul. Saul at that time. He wasn't looking for. He was going to do in the one in the way. He just stumbled across the way. But boy, when he found the way, he was in the way. He wanted in the way, and he was. Listen, did he not say this? I count everything I have as dung. He was talking about, I am a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I have been taught by Gamaliel himself that every bit of that I have is worthless, that I might gain Christ, salvation. You cannot say one without the other. But he says that I might gain Christ. And then he says, there's a second parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a pearl merchant. Now, what does that tell you? What's the first thing that tells you? If you're a pearl merchant, you've got... Thank you. I tell you, I wish more people would help me out. If you're a pearl merchant, that means you've got pearls. Otherwise, you'd be stupid to go around telling everybody, well, I'm a pearl merchant. Well, let me see a pearl. I don't have any pearls. I'm just a pearl merchant. That'd be like saying, I'm a watch salesman. Well, let me see a watch. Oh, I don't have any watches. I'm just a watch salesman. No, you'd never do that. So when he says there was this merchant of pearls, he had pearls. Listen, the world's got what they call good. We say they're a good person. Look, in man's standards, they are. You know, we can set man's standards, can't we? Sure, and say, that's a good person. That's a good woman. That's a good man. They've got pearls. But this pearl merchant come across, ooh, it says the pearl of, you know what a merchant of pearls does? He sells them, right? For a
price.
Thank you. I knew you'd pick up what I was putting down. He sells them for a price. He's got a price for his pearls. But he says, guess what? I found one of greater price than anything I've got. So you know what I'm going to do? I ain't quitting. Y'all can come on in. I ain't stopping. You know what? He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of all these no good pearls that I've got that I'm trying to sell. And I'm going to go and get that pearl of great price. Is that not what he said? That's exactly what he said. Let me tell you something. You can either hang on to what you've got, or you can give up all you've got and get what God's got to order, and that's his son.
Amen.
And then you know what you'll have? The pearl of great price. And then he comes on down and he's got this next parable. Now it goes back to all inclusive. He says, well, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a fisherman who casts his net. And when he drew in the catch, they sat down and began to get the good and the bad. Just like the wheat and the tares, folks. He's back to that now. He says, now listen, I told you that getting salvation is an individual thing. You can't go with the crowd. You know, you can't come to church and sit among saved people and say, well, I sat among saved people, so I'm saved. No, it's individual. You've got to find the treasure in the field and be willing to give up everything you got to get it. You got to find the pearl of great price and be willing to sell all your pearls to get it. Or at the end time, when the separation time comes, they're going to go into what they've drawn in, the fish, and they're going to take the good fish and put them over here And the bad fish, they're going to put them over here. Now, the good fish, they get treated well. That's the saved. That's the children of God. But you know what happens to the bad fish? We have a fish fry. Now, the worst thing you can be at a fish fry is the fish. Because the fish is the only thing that gets fried at the fish fry. He says, we're going to take the bad fish and we're going to cast them into the fire where there is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Sound like a fun time? You know, these people think they're going to have a party in hell. Isn't that sad? You know what they're going to be doing in hell? They're going to be weeping, wailing, and they're going to be gnashing their teeth for day after day for several years. Thank you, honey. Forever. You know, so much has been said about salvation. But I think the song I sang this morning says it all. There's just too much to gain to lose. I mean, so what if you have to give something up in this world? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath in store for them that love him. There's just too much to gain to lose. Well, I don't know where I'll be next week. I mean, Lord willing, I'll be here, but I don't know where I'll be while I'm here, if that makes sense. I never make sense, so.